personify, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away.
It's time for greatest hits. I got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about it. So, hey, Americans who bash soccer and the U.S. Soccer Federation for desecrating Iran's flag on social media today, and the college football playoffs machinations, the phony rivalry between Penn State and Michigan State, all that stupid hockey the Penguins played Saturday against Toronto, and most of all, tonight's meaningless football game. Guess what? All of you.
You just made the list.
That's a lot of repeat business on today's list. I hate the fact. I just hate the fact that the Steeler game tonight is meaningless and that the season is over already. We're just not used to that. In some cities, it's like that for decades at a time and even longer. But we're just not used to that. No fun, my babe, no fun. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. I see on Twitter about the USSF controversy and desecrating the Iranian flag. Screw Iran. Screw them. Yeah, we're the only country whose feelings count, whose flag counts, whose ideology counts. And make no mistake, I've got a lot of problems with Iran's ideology, but I don't want to cite it the night before a do-or-die World Cup soccer game in which the U.S. has to win to advance. I don't want to put Iran on notice over protests about civil rights violations in their country, which the players themselves are protesting. But they're not going to stick with the U.S. Soccer Federation on this. They're going to stick with their own country, their own flag. Just incredibly stupid. We are such a nation of Nimrods. I don't know whether it's generational. I don't know whether it's de-evolution. I don't know why, but we are one dumbass effing country now. Just a bunch of idiots who fight with them, fight with us, fight all the time, don't ever get anything solved. We're a bunch of morons. If you don't like it, leave, fat ass. Well, a little late in life for that, but it's something to think about. I'll tell you that for sure. The night before a must-win game against Iran in the World Cup, the U.S. Soccer Federation creates a distraction for the team it sent over there. That just puts the duh in dumb. Yeah, that Metallica touring concept, that was like, who do I like enough that could play in a stadium that size anymore? Now, I hear Stephen Piercy of Rat might do a residency in Vegas. Where's he going to do it at? Like the coffee shop at the Circa? I mean, my God, somebody has to want it for you to do it. And I'm a big Rat fan, but my God. Looking at tonight's game and at the Steelers, I want to talk about the pass rush because it's time for T.J. Watt to do more than just cause commotion. He had that great interception on Sunday against Cincinnati, but Lael Collins negated him on the pass rush. He just did. Watt has a half sack in the two games since he's been back, and for those of you who say, well, he's still not fully recovered from that torn pec, okay, well, then don't play. Because there's no point to Watt playing anyway because the Steelers are out of the playoff hunt, and if he can't do anything, he shouldn't play. But I suspect he's fine and just isn't playing well right now. I mean, you can blame rust, but I wouldn't, say that the injury is holding him back. If it is, then don't play. And I also hear people saying Alex Highsmith should get like support for All Pro or Pro Bowl, and maybe Pro Bowl, but not All Pro. Are they still even having a Pro Bowl? I thought that was like flag football or something like that now. Highsmith has 9 sacks, but 5.5 of those sacks came in the 3 games Watt played, and Highsmith was relatively quiet in the other games. That would break down to 3.5 sacks in 7 games when Watt didn't play. And by the way, don't even mention Defensive Player of the Year. Highsmith's nowhere near that category. And Micah Parsons of Dallas has that on lock. But if you look at Highsmith and how he plays when Watt is available and when Watt isn't, you know, you don't get consideration for All-Pro if you're Robin. You got to be Batman. The coaching matchup tonight, I mean, really, who cares? But it's Tomlin against Saturday. It's the presumed Hall of Famer, which I don't buy, but all you do. The presumed Hall of Famer against the guy who never coached except, like, what, Catholic prep school or something like that in his life. And, you know, will it make Tomlin bad if he loses to Saturday? Yeah, but not overwhelmingly so. It's just a game. It's just a game between two bad teams that are going nowhere and one coach that's an amateur and one coach that's disappointed for a decade. That's all this game is. Turning out to the Penguins, Josh Shoey had a couple interesting stats in his athletic piece. When the Penguins play back-to-back night, they are 1-4-1 in the second game. Now, that's not really a surprise. Everybody has trouble in the second game of a back-to-back. They should be doing better. I'm not excusing, but a record like that in the second game of a back-to-back is not unheard of. Now, the Penguins have been outscored 25-15 in those 6 games, however. And listen to this number. They've been outshot 244-161. That's real bad, but there's no fixing that. There's no fixing old. That's where that's coming from. They could be a bit smarter. We talked about some of the mistakes they made against Toronto a bit earlier. But there's no fixing old. Like I wrote in my trip column, the Penguins have experience and guile, but they don't want to utilize it. In fact, quite the opposite. If you look at that Toronto game, their stupidity was absolutely appalling. As I mentioned, Kasperi Kapanen looks like he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow night. Not for Jeff Carter, which I suggested in my trip column, but it looks like Danton Heinen, who has 1 goal in 17 games, is going to sit. Now, well, I think Kapanen's played horrible, well, pretty much, period, since I first saw him play. You shouldn't scratch guys indefinitely. You know, if a guy's been in the press box for a couple weeks, you got to let him play a game. It doesn't matter for who. It doesn't matter how much. But what does matter is at some point you're going to need that guy, no matter how bad he is and how long he's been scratched. You're going to need him due to injury. And so, you know, if you give Kapanen a game here and there, and I've said the same thing about Chad Ruedel. Give him a game now and again. And Sullivan's done that. You got to have those guys ready to play and not just come out cold if injury dictates they have to play several games in a row. So no problem with any of that. I will say this, though, and this is me singing a familiar tune. In the second leg of back-to-backs, the Penguins should slow the game down. Better to do it voluntarily and control it than to have it shoved down your throat when it happens organically. The other thing they ought to do is, this is minor, they ought to start Casey DeSmith against the weaker foe in those back-to-backs. Stop pretending him and Tristan Jarry are equals. For example, Casey DeSmith should have played at Philadelphia Friday, and then Jarry should have played coming back home against Toronto, because Casey DeSmith was going to beat Philadelphia. They stink. And then Tristan Jarry, at least in theory, gives you a better chance against the better team, the Maple Leafs. Up next, going to keep talking hockey with our good buddy Tyler Kennedy, the former Penguin. That's TK up next on 105.9.
Mr. Van, how you doing?
Sometimes I'm so damn dumb, I wouldn't take a phone call from me.
VX at 105.9.
Penguins won 5 in a row, but had a disappointing loss Saturday at home against Toronto. They're back at PPG tomorrow night for a game against Carolina. Joining me now to talk about that, the former Penguin and Stanley Cup champion in 09, he is Tyler Kennedy. TK, I'm really down on the Penguins' power play. It's 5th worst in the NHL. How do they fix that? Because there's just too much talent there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Mark, is simplify. You know, I've been in a lot of
power play meeting, especially with the Penguins over my 6 years, especially at the beginning, I was on that second power play. And I always remember them always saying to keep it simple. You know, again, with them, I just feel like they're always trying to make that extra pass or trying to be too cute. Again, sometimes just the best power plays are the simple power plays. The D getting the puck through. And again, right now, I just feel like they're just trying to make that extra pass or you know, trying to, you know, get that highlight power play goal instead of keeping it simple.
Yeah, I quite agree with that. And what I would try is I'd move Gino to the left half wall and put Sid on the right half wall and let Sid kind of quarterback it from that spot, because I know Gino has that great one-timer, but he's not getting to take it very often, TK, nor is he getting teed up for it very often.
No, exactly. Like, he's kind of on an island by himself there. You know, they're not really feeding him. You know, like, when you think of Washington, they feed Ovi those one-timers. It's such a constant threat. And right now, Gino's, he's not really doing much there. So I definitely would change it up. Even, again, when you think of the really good power plays, the guys in front of the net make such a difference, you know, screening the goalie, you know, getting those dirty rebounds. Again, it doesn't have to be a nice goal to get the power play back on track. Sometimes it's just banging one in around the net, getting a dirty one. Again, it's just getting the puck there.
Yeah, I agree. And even though I think it was time for him to move on because he wasn't helping much 5-on-5, I think they really miss Hornquist in that regard. And Florida certainly made good use out of him in front of the net.
Yeah, again, I teach now, Mark, and it's funny. All the kids want these highlight goals, and I always go back to Hornquist. He doesn't get no highlight goals, but he's making $7 million a year just banging in rebounds, you know. And it don't matter how you get them, you just got to get them. And right now, it just seems like they're just trying to get the pretty ones, you know. And, again, you got to go to the tough areas to get them. And I'm not saying Gensel's not doing a great job. But, again, I think they need to get some more dirty goals on the power play, some more tips. The ones that, you know, maybe go under the radar, changing it around, turning the momentum of the power play.
What's wrong with Chris Letang? I feel like his last two seasons were two of his best, but he's had some rough games this year, and that includes Saturday's loss to Toronto. He just seems like he's all over the place.
Yeah, with Chris, I think sometimes he gets in his own head and he tries too hard. He tries to, you know, make that extra play. And the best I've ever seen Chris play is when he plays simple hockey. He's got to understand. He's got to keep it. He's a quarterback. And, again, when you see your best defenseman making simple or not the best choices with the puck, it goes down the whole defensive core. And, again, with Letang, it's the simple, being simple. Again, the D's job at the end of the day is getting from defenseman to the offensive player and let them do their thing. And sometimes I think Chris tries to be that offensive and tries to skate and tries to make that fancy play. Again, for him, it's just getting back to the real basics that made him successful. Because, again, he's such an elite player. The offense will come. You know, the offense will always be there for Chris. Right now, I just feel like he's squeezing it. He's trying to, you know, maybe try to justify, you know, signing the deal, trying to be here, being the guy for a couple more years. Again, I just think with him, he's got to relax, keep it simple, and move the puck.
TK, the Penguins' third line struggling. Jeff Carter looks really slow. What's your take on how those three are playing together? And it looks like Heinen might be scratched tomorrow, and Kapanen might get a game.
Yeah, when I look at the third line, I don't really see an identity. You know what I mean? Like, when I think of the really good third lines, they're unbelievable at shutting their top line down on the other side, and they put up a little bit of points right now. And to do that, you need speed. You need guys that can wheel. When you think, again, they had, remember on the HBK line, they had Hagelin. You know, Bonino was more of a shutdown guy, played real smart. When I think of my line, was Stahl, smart. I was kind of, you know, running all over the place, creating stuff, trying to hem them in their own end. Again, you think of a third line, you think of guys that make it hard to play against. And right now, they're not hard to play against. They're not quick. They're not moving the puck. They're trying to make plays. Again, I know the game's changing, but if I didn't have anything, it was a chip in the offensive zone and try to hit the guy to make him pay. So the next time he came to get the retrieve the puck, he was thinking twice, and that's how you get the D on their heels, you know. And right now they don't have that. I'm not saying they're not going to find that, because I know Jeff Carter, he's a real smart player, he's a veteran player. I just think they need to, you know, understand what they are. You know, again, they're not a line that's going to put up that many points, but you can't give up points either.
Well, I totally agree, and this is no knock on Carter, but like you, Jordan Staal, and Cookie had like that third line mindset. I think Carter still tries to play like a top six, not least through the neutral zone, which is where you really need to be a third liner.
Yeah, and it goes back to just the game change. You know, again, I remember if me, Staal, or any of those guys didn't chip it in going through the neutral zone, we turned the puck over. It wasn't like, you know, you might get one chance and one oh, that was a mistake, but the second time you're sitting, you know. And right now, again, they just keep trying to make the move over and over. And again, it's being hard to play against is a third line role, you know. And
yep,
and Jeff, I think, always been a top line player. And again, when you think of him and what he's thinking, he came up with Sid and Gino. You know, maybe he's still thinking he can play like those guys, because again, when you see Sid and Gino right now, it's remarkable how good they're playing.
Oh, especially fantastic. Sid.
It honestly, Mark, I wake up and I'm like, how is Sid still skating like you? It's unbelievable how good he is at that age still. But again, maybe he sees those guys and still thinks he can play like those guys. But again, he'll figure it out. He's a veteran guy. He wants to stay in the league as long as he can. So I think he'll be okay. But again, time's running out too. You know, we got to make sure we get into the playoffs and, you know, everyone knows what their role is. And when I think of really good coaches, I always remember when Dan Bylsma sat our line down and specifically told us what our job was. Even when we played Washington, hey guys, we don't want you to score tonight. Your job is to make Ovechkin and his line not get any points. So every time you get over the blue line, you're not trying to score. You're not trying to dangle the defenseman. You're chipping in it, and you're trying to hang on to it as long as possible in the offensive zone. And again, he made it so clear that there was no question what our line and what each player on the third line's job was.
We're talking to Tyler Kennedy here on 105.9 The XTK. The penalty kill's been much better. Is that just getting Bluger back, or is there more to it?
No, I think it's getting Bluger. I think he's a great player. He knows exactly what kind of player he is. You know, and I think he knows that he makes himself more of an asset being good on the penalty kill. He's strong on face. He's a great player, and I think that's a big, big addition when he came back to that PK.
The Penguins had a really bad line change in the first minute of the game against Toronto. It led to Mitch Marner scoring on a breakaway just 40 seconds in. What usually happens on a bad line change? Because changing lines is simple until it's not. I know you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you get caught talking to another player where it's your turn up and you don't go, or, you know, sometimes you don't realize where the puck is on the ice and you go to change and they're coming down in your end, and the guy that you're supposed to have is the third guy high and he gets the puck and scores. Again, it's more about the awareness of the players on where the puck is at that time is the biggest thing where you get that bad line change. Again, when, you know, if you're changing and you think the puck is getting chipped in and it gets turned over, you're coming to the bench and they're coming back three strong and you got one or two defensemen back there, it's an odd man rush. But you don't realize that because your back's to the play. Again, there's a lot of things like that. Again, maybe talking to another player and, you know, Sully calls your lineup and you're not paying attention. You're supposed to go and no one goes. There's a lot of different ways it happens, but usually the next day on video, you figure it out pretty quick because usually you're on the highlight reel of the mistakes the next day.
Did the Penguins look old against Toronto, or did the Leafs just look young? Because they got a lot of young elite players like Matthews and Marner and Nylander too.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of like all the hype about Gino getting 1,000. I think that like led into a lot of it. I think the you know, when you think of getting old, I always say I can come back and play in the NHL right now, Mark, for one game, but I wouldn't be able to play two games just because you're just so sore, you know. And I always feel when you play back to back, you really feel your age. And I think that's what happened. I think obviously, you know, after winning in Philly and coming back, there's, you know, there wasn't that much hype playing against Toronto. And I think there was a lot of things why they kind of laid an egg in that game.
We talked about Letang's struggles, but boy, how good has Marcus Pettersson been? Him and that reach. I think this has been his best hockey we've seen him play, certainly in Pittsburgh.
You know what, Mark? I was watching the Philly game, and some things as a player, and you watch other players when you retire, and you're like, you know what? I love this guy. I don't know. And it was when he stuck up and when he fought their Delorier on the other team. Because that takes a big set of, you know what, when you do that, I don't care who you are, but when you see their other tough guy and he runs your top player, when he did that, I was automatically a Pettersson fan. And him just playing simple, and it doesn't seem like being on the top line's too big for him, or it's too much of a show for him. You know, he's fitting in comfortably, and he's not doing too much. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of a young Dumoulin, to be honest. You know, he's simple, moves the puck. And again, when he stuck up for Letang, huge props. And again, that's a guy that loves his teammates, that's a good teammate, and that wants to stay on that top position. So,
yeah, I gave Pettersson a ton of credit for fighting Deslauriers. I know that goes a long way in the room. What's the worst Mitch match you ever fought, TK, and why'd you do it? There must have been one time anyway.
You know what, Mark? It's the old saying. I don't think anyone ever said no with me. I asked a couple guys. Everyone's like, "Yes, please, TK." But I think the biggest mismatch I've ever had was either Jamie Benn. But I actually won Jamie Benn because he thought he was going to kick the poop out of me, and I caught him. And then as soon as the ties turned, but I think the biggest one was Luke Shen. Luke Shen took a run at Gino in Toronto, and I came off the bench, and I was having a bad game. I was tired, and I just wasn't doing good that game. Probably turning the puck over, you know, Mark. But I ran into Luke Shen, and he was coming off. And then there was a huge scrum, and I remember there was a scrum, and I had Dominic Moore in the scrum, and I'm like, perfect. I can kill this guy. I can give it to this guy. And then Max had Luke Shen. And I remember Luke Shen was screaming at me, and Max let go of Luke Shen. And I was like, oh, my God. And then we end up fighting, but I was, you know, he gave it to me pretty good. But I remember going back to the dressing room and giving Max a little, hey, Max, when the guy's bigger than me, don't let go of him. He wasn't going to fight you, but Max was laughing. But again, when Max let him go, I think my eyes were like a deer in the headlights. But I ended up going, you know, it was all fun. Again, but the biggest thing is, like, you don't think when you're young, you know, you just go, you know. But that was the biggest mismatch. But again, he didn't knock me out. He gave it to me a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. And all the boys loved it. You know, the best thing about fighting is when you come back on the plane or come in the room, the boys are so excited. You know, I guarantee when Pettersson came back into the room, the boys loved him. You know, again, he got the hardest working hat or whatever they give away. That means a lot to a player. You know, that gives, you know, it perks your chest up a little bit. So.
Now, before I let you go, TK, I know you watch a lot of hockey. Who's the best team right now? Because I'll be honest, a lot of the teams with great records, I'm not totally buying into yet.
Yeah, they're, you know what? I thought New York would be a lot better. They don't, like, they're struggling. I thought New York would be really,
yeah, the Rangers,
really good.
Me
they're,
too.
You know, I thought, wow, they're going to thrall everyone. Now they're getting rid of some guys with Reed and stuff. Surprisingly, New Jersey looks great to me. They're moving the puck. They look like fast. You know, like, they look like they got ends of energy, and they got some high-end skill, and they got an okay decor that moves a puck. But I think they look really, really good when I watch them play with those young legs and the elite offensive scoring they have with those top guys.
TK, great stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
That's Tyler Kennedy. Love having him on. Great stuff from TK. Brought to us by Dunkin'. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'. By Penn West University. By Armstrong, keeping you connected. And by Always Safe Flagging and Traffic Control. 412-333-WXDX. This is the Mark Madden Show. Don't forget, tonight I am at the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg. You know where it is, right in that plaza, to watch the Steeler game. Kickoff's at 8:20, so please do join me. We'll have a great time. I'm giving stuff away. Hey, you better find some context to make this game enjoyable that doesn't involve it being a good football game. And I think stopping by the Bottle Shop is your best bet. 105.9. I'll be honest, I haven't enjoyed today's show at all. Not even a little bit. The Steeler games between two bummy teams. Steelers are 3-7. Colts are 4-6-1. You got the matchup between the Hall of Fame coach Mike Tomlin and the inexperienced amateur and Jeff Saturday. But let's be honest, who cares about that? You know, Kenny Pickett's not played well. T.J. Watt's not played well. The Steelers' run defense has played better, but it faces Jonathan Taylor tonight of the Colts, who might be the best running back in the league. I haven't really thought who to pick in this game because, honestly, it's just not sexy. It's meaningless in November for the Steelers, and that feels weird. But I'm going to pick the Colts to win, even though I think the Steelers are probably slightly better because it's at Indy. I don't think Matt Ryan will screw up too much at quarterback, although he's a sitting duck like Ben was last year. They might kill him on the pass rush. I mean, if Watt don't get sacks tonight with Ryan as immobile as he is, then you've got to start asking questions about why he's being ineffective, why he came back to play like this. But I think the Colts probably win a close, low-scoring game. So come down to the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg, watch the game with me, and let's have fun nonetheless. You got to learn to make your own fun in situations like this, and again, I can't emphasize, I'm not doing this to stick the knife in, but this is something we're just not used to with the Steelers for their season to turn this meaningless this early. So at any rate, just watch the game and hope for the best, whatever the best really is, because maybe it's better to lose and get a better pick. We've been talking about the Penguins' power play, how it puts Sid at the right half wall. We've been talking about the third line, how Jeff Carter is just too slow. Kasperi Kapanen might sub in for Danton Heinen. Heinen might get scratched tomorrow, as befitting Heinen just scoring the one goal in the 17 games, although Kapanen has one goal on the season. Heinen's like always been, you know, as third line type talents go, hot and cold. You know, scores like 3 in 5 games and doesn't score for 17, or in this case, one goal in 17 games. Carter's no better, though. He has one goal in 15 games, and that goal was an empty netter. So he is struggling mightily. So Crosby first in the league in even strength points. How about that? It's crazy, right? How about that? He's playing great. Like Tyler Kennedy said a few moments ago, it's you watch him and you say, wow, that guy's 35? And Geno's playing real well right now, too. And that's what's kind of worrisome about the Penguins is their two best guys are playing really well, although Letang has struggled. But their two best guys are playing really well, and they're still hovering. I think right now they're true 500. I think if you add their losses and their overtime and shootout losses, they have just as many of those total as they do wins. And true 500 will generally squeak into the playoffs. And right now the Penguins are in a playoff spot, as I recall, but might not be easy. Might not be easy, but hey, you know what? I'm complaining maybe when I shouldn't, because they did win 5 games in a row before losing against Toronto. It was just the dichotomy of Toronto's speed and youth against the Penguins' lack of speed and age that gives pause for concern, especially when the Penguins don't try to do anything that's related to guile or experience. They want to play those teams head up, skill on skill, speed on speed. And some nights it works, and a lot of nights it really doesn't. Okay, now it's time to ask Mark anything. Let's make these calls with competitive fire. Dial 412-333-WXDX. That's 412-333-WXDX. You can call now and ask Mark anything. You know what's going to happen? Like the guy on the B team, every single game he says, this is Kenny's big night. This is when he breaks through. And if he finally does have a good game, see, he's great. God, I just couldn't hitch my horse to that friggin' wagon. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Or would I be hitching my wagon to that horse? I'm not sure about that. I'll be at the bottle shop. Should I stay here and do work or go home between now and the bottle shop? I think I'm going to go home between now and the bottle shop. That's what I think I'm going to do. But right now, call and ask Mark anything. 412-333-WXDX. It's the Mark Madden Show on 105.9.
Hi, are you ready to start the season with savings at IKEA?
Ooh, I am. I've got my three shopping lists right here. One for home, one for gifts, and one for treating myself.
We can help you check off all three with lots of offers going all week. IKEA family members can save on all...
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
You're kidding me. That's ridiculous.
You know what, I'm going to skip right to my original thought and just say, this is stupid, you're stupid, thanks for calling.
The X at 105.9.
Double M on the X, 412-333-WXDX. Time now to ask Mark anything. Brought to us by Penn West University, harnessing the strength of three legacy institutions. That's Penn West University. Let's go to John on the cell phone. John, you're on with Double M.
Hi, Mark. Love the show. First time caller. My question is, when during the World Cup soccer, someone from upstairs, they could call down to the ref and tell him, hey, check the VAR to make a penalty?
On certain situations, yes.
All right, okay. Because, you know, it seems like they're taking away from the referees.
Well, why do I care about what's taken away from the referees? Why don't I just want the call to be made correctly?
Okay. All right, thanks. I was just curious what your thought was on that.
Yeah, I want the call made correctly. I was perfectly content with it the way it was, but now that they have gone to VAR to review offsides, to review a lot of different stuff, you can't go back another direction. You can't go from making a move to make sure all the calls get made correctly and then reverse field on that. You just can't.
Okay. So really the referee still has the last say? When he goes and checks the
yes,
video?
The referee can review the screen and then he decides what he decides. Correct. The referee still has final say. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Cigar in the car. Cigar, ask Mark anything.
Good day, Mr. Madden.
I said good day.
If you could change one rule in hockey, what would it be?
I don't know that I would change anything. I would just insist that all the rules be applied consistently and constantly.
I would change a rule.
What rule?
Well, what is the first thing after a goal the goalie does?
I don't know.
He takes a drink from his water bottle, right?
Okay.
So what I would do is that I don't think you should get that reward of that refreshing
goodbye.
Water.
Goodbye. 412-333-WXDX. Oh, here's something interesting. George tweets, will you discuss the story you've been keeping private about the Steelers tonight at the bottle shop? You know what? Maybe I will. I'll tell you what, I'll give the framework of it. I might not mention names, but I'll give the framework. Good thought there, George. John tweets, why do the Penguins refuse to change their power play? Because they're convinced that the way they're doing it is the right way and that over the large sample, it will work. And maybe it will. I just don't think so. Leaves the line open, 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. Let's go to Julie. Julie, ask Mark anything.
Hello, Mark. I'm a first-time caller.
Very exciting.
Yesterday, during the Jackson-Baltimore game, did you see it?
No.
The Jacksonville-Baltimore game?
No.
Well, at the end of the game, the Jacksonville receiver caught the ball in the end zone, and he double-tapped his one foot into the end zone. And they called that a touchdown. And I thought you had to have 2 feet in the end zone.
I would not have called that a touchdown. You have to have both feet in bounds, not one.
Yes.
Both.
My boyfriend told me to call the super genius and thought that you would know the answer. So you didn't think it was a touchdown either. Neither did
I didn't see it, but it's my understanding you have to have both feet in bounds.
Yes, but he was pushed out of bounds, and they kind of got tangled up. This is my boyfriend's argument. They kind of got tangled up, so he couldn't get the second foot down, so he got the first foot down twice, tap, tap.
Well, I think your boyfriend's full of crap.
On certain days, he is, yes.
Having not seen it, it sounds to me like, well, put it this way, I didn't see it, so, but you have to have both feet in bounds. If he was pushed, I don't know, maybe. Let's go to Marvin in Mars. Marvin, you're on with Double M.
Mr. Madden, I have a soccer change for the rules. I think that any time that a player takes a dive or obviously fakes an injury, they need to be able to find them after the game, after replay.
Well, you can give them a yellow card.
But what about a fine? Take their money.
Yeah, I just don't think it's that big of an issue. It's part of the game's culture, however, regrettably. I mean, you know what I think is really stupid in American football? The way that every time a player makes even the least good play, and no matter what the score is, they have to put on a Broadway production. That offends me far more than diving does. At least diving's being done to try to seize an advantage. However, I'd rather not see it.
Well, they're affecting the outcome of the game whenever they dive, but dancing after a play doesn't affect the score.
Yeah, it's still stupid. I dislike stupid as much as I dislike anything, being so smart and all.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. No, I don't like diving, but, you know, you can yellow card somebody for diving. It happens fairly frequently. I mean, to go back and review every foul in a game to decide if a diving yellow card and a fine should be applied after the fact, I mean, really, do you care that much? I don't. Let's go to Dominic in Bethel Park. Dominic, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Mark. Hey, have you ever played an instrument? You're so into musicians and music.
No.
I just wondered if you've ever played. No. Okay. Thank you.
No, I mean, I it's a regret. I think that anybody who plays an instrument, two regrets I have. I'm not sure which one more than the other.
Okay.
Not that I could have made a team, but I wish I would have tried to play a school sport. Even if you're a backup offensive lineman or some crap like that, I think you learn something about life when you participate in a team sport in high school. You know what I mean? I think it makes you grow up. I think it teaches you accountability. I think it teaches you to relate with other people. So if I had, more so than playing an instrument, that's my regret. Not that I could have made a team, but who knows?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Mark.
Thank you. Let's go to Frank in the car. Frank, ask Mark anything. Okay, we appear to have lost Frank. Brad Roberts tweets, give me a deep cut of a faster Pussycat song. I recently kind of got into that band. I don't even know their deep cuts. I like always think of Bathroom Wall, House of Pain. My favorite Faster Pussycat songs, it's a pretty short list. Will the Steelers' record be better next year? Yeah, it will be. That's from LG. I just don't think they'll make the playoffs next year either. Kenny tweets, if you had to live in a country other than the U.S., where would you pick? Oh, that's easy, Liverpool. And I still might live there for like a full soccer season or maybe half a season at some point. Probably not, but who knows? Jason tweets, can anybody beat France? Right now, no. I think they look by far the best team, but it's very early days yet. Love is the way tweets. Would you describe yourself as a generally happy, content man? No. I don't think almost anybody is. I'm not very happy, but it's not because of any deep-seated, maybe it is. I just tend to look at the bad side of things. I tend to be very cynical. Carl tweets, are you hosting a USA watch party tomorrow? No, I'm not. I will be doing the show right here. I am hosting, however, a Steelers watch party tonight at the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg. Let's go to Steve in Finleyville. Steve, you're on with Double M. Ask Mark anything.
Good day, Mr. Madden. Thank you for taking the call.
Right.
Real quick, sir, you went into about a week or so ago about Fenway screwing with Mario, and I just wanted to know if Fenway, I had never heard the finality of that, if they still are screwing with Mario or if they've,
well, here's the story in a nutshell, what I've heard. I've heard Mario's having a hard time getting all his money from Fenway Sports Group because of a lawsuit by a minority shareholder.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
All right.
And how that plays out, how it's playing out, I don't currently know, but that's the basic of what I've heard.
Okay.
And when I say what I've heard, I can tell you 100% that's true.
I believe you, man. Nobody would know more about the team than you, man.
And I can tell you 100% that Mara's getting the short end of the stick, and somebody needs to tell Fenway Sports Group. I mean, he's going to get paid, but it shouldn't have to be like this. And somebody needs to tell Fenway Sports Group, you don't F with Mario in this town.
That's right. Good man, Mark. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Oh, we're done. Hit the music. All right. Go Steelers. See you tomorrow, 105.9.